Speaking of that homeless thing we're doing for the community, one of the biggest pushbacks I get and I hear about that is that, well, I've worked hard. I've earned my money. And I've taken care of myself and stayed out of trouble. And they don't do any of that. I feel it creeping in on me sometimes. So you're not alone. Let me remind us all, the health that I enjoy today is grace. The health I enjoy today is grace. The job I have today is grace. Was that a bad decision, a bad choice, a bad thing from being there ourselves? We haven't sustained this universe ourselves. He sustains my life. He saved me by grace. But I hope you're spiritual enough to see every day He maintains you by grace. He maintains your health, your ability. He has given you the talents to do the excellent job you do at your work. You live off of grace. And all we're doing is paying some of that abundance forward. We don't know what the results will be. We just know we are vessels of grace, filled and overflowing, if we can see it, and we are paying it forward to show the grace and the love of Christ. That's all it is. We don't know the results. We'll leave that up to Him. Moving forward to why you came besides the food. I've been in a series on unity and division in the church in 1 Corinthians primarily. I showed you why the whole book is really Paul pointing the church away from division back to unity, back to building the body rather than dividing it and corrupting it, destroying it. The entire book of 1 Corinthians is about that. We walked chapter by chapter one Sunday morning just so I could show you that. And we were talking about building. We came to this unique teaching in 1 Corinthians about judging ourselves in the church. And 1 Corinthians 5 just leaves no doubt. It's just neon straightforward. In the church, you'd better judge each other. You'd better judge each other. And so I knew that I had to take you back to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged, Jesus Himself. I knew I had to take you back there and show you some of that. So we did. He said, you know, don't judge each other, because the way you judge each other, they're going to judge you right back. It's going to come right back on you. But first, take that big old plank out of your eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of each other's eye. So he didn't totally negate judging each other. He just said, let me show you how to do it. Let me qualify it for you. Next week, I promise you, this has been so scary for some of you, because the American church culture has flown this big banner of we don't judge. And I've been trying to show you through the scriptures how that is so ridiculous to what the Bible teaches. Next Sunday, I will finish the judging part of this unity division part. And I will take you with Jesus' own words how to approach judging each other in the church. It'll be just Jesus primarily next Sunday. It'll be a step by step. Here's Jesus. But to get you up to snuff a little bit, we talked about judging each other, taking the plank out of our eye. Then Paul in 1 Corinthians, he does say, I've applied all these things to Apollos and myself, that you don't go beyond what's written. And that was judging them as greater leaders than the others. So that was a commendation of judging. About 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, I've applied these things so you don't go beyond what's written. So first, take the plank out of our own eye. We make sure if we're judging here, and we're supposed to, that we don't go beyond what the Bible says. It's got to be here. It's not my favorite flavor of church, what you should wear, how you should smile, whether you wear jewelry or not, whether you have. We don't go beyond what's written. Last week, I showed you the passage about restoration. If we are going to take a speck out of our brother's eye, Galatians shows us it's all about restoration. This is not about condemning anyone. This is about restoring each other. If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore each other with the skill and the patience, the love of a surgeon. It's all about restoration. So just a few steps in judging in the church, it's not at all what we sometimes think it is. It's about restoration. We care about each other so much. So today, here's my confession to you. I need to show you a passage of Scripture here that isn't specifically aimed at judging. It was my heart for Thanksgiving and the holidays that I thought, I want to show them this passage of Scripture going into Thanksgiving. I'm going to apply it at the end and say, if we're going to judge each other, let's keep this passage in mind also, because it is in the middle of 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul is about judging in the church all over 1 Corinthians. But this one's not so. But we'll apply it to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. That's where we're going to be for the holidays. And we'll apply it to judging. Next week, step-by-step instructions from Jesus, some definitions, just some really rich, rich teaching of Jesus, how to judge in the church. As the book of 1 Corinthians unfolds, Paul addresses a problem, a real problem in the first four chapters, and that is of this division that has developed. And he addresses that. Throughout the rest of the book, he keeps addressing this part of you're dividing or you're unifying and you're building. Everything he does throughout that letter is about building or dividing. When he gets to this chapter right here, it's no difference, and you'll see it in here. He'll actually say that there be no divisions in the body. So he sees this as a potential divider in the church. But he's not addressing his problem anymore. He's just applying it to that. He says, now you asking me about spiritual gifts. So I'll tell you about spiritual gifts. I'll tell you about these things. So he's moved on from the problem to something they've been asking about, but he still applies it back to dividing the church. And as you know today in America, our churches now this morning, we sit in somewhat of a division over spiritual gifts. There are denominations and churches named and all about, and it's all they do is spiritual gifts. It's certain ones. And there are others who sit and they don't want to touch it. They're scared to death of this Holy Spirit thing. We're just going to talk it, well, maybe it's salvation, the Holy Spirit. And we're sitting divided when maybe the gospel itself is the same in both churches, but because of our handling of the spiritual gifts, we sit divided. I'm not saying everyone's right, everyone's good. I'm not saying it's all one big happy party. But I am saying there is a division in churches of America in some regard, in some proportion, over spiritual gifts. A lot of that, and I've just tried to think through this. I taught you last week about your phrenes, about your deep, mature seat of your thinking, way down below just your thinking, but the actual foundation of your thinking. And Paul uses this. It's the only time in the New Testament he says, I want you to think like mature adults. I want you to go to the depths and the core of your thinking. I want you to think about this spiritual gift thing very deeply, very maturely. And so that's kind of where we backed up to in chapter 12. We're going to think about this very deeply and very, very maturely. Let me begin reading it, verse 1. David, I totally skipped you, didn't I? Come here. You read it for us. I can do this in a small church. I'm going to let him read it. Terry, what you got here, man? I'm going to tear up their music. All right. Turn that. Is that on? It is on. All right, David, come on over here by me. David's going to read this passage of Scripture for you.
All right. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, interpretation, there you go. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each other individually as he wills.
Perfect. Thank you. It's nice to be in a small church where I can just kind of interrupt the whole flow and just do what I forgot to do earlier. All right. So, looking at those few verses, this is where I'll begin. Do you see verse 7 there? 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In the church. To each one here who has accepted Christ, surrendered to him, he has given you the Holy Spirit. He's put it in you. Now, it's in you there's a manifestation of it. Now, let's just stop right there, because manifestation is kind of a cool word, and I could say it really funny if I wanted to. It's a manifestation of this. You know, I could do all that. That's just kind of dumb, isn't it? Here's what manifestation means. You have a little virus floating around in your blood, and once in a while, it appears on the surface of your skin as a rash. It has manifest itself. It has come to the surface and shown itself. That's all that word means. It's become visible. It's apparent. It's not hidden. It's not secret. It's not yours to keep at home in the closet. There is the Spirit given. It's a manifestation of it, where when he shows up Sunday morning, I know you have the Holy Spirit in you, but he's going to rise to the surface and show himself to us. So, each person here who has the Holy Spirit, every person here who has surrendered to Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, a manifestation of it. It's a visible use, a visible action of it for the common good, for the good of this body of believers, for the good of the church. You have a visible, apparent, active, moving Holy Spirit in you. There is something for you to do. And the whole point of what Paul's teaching is you're not all the same. Matter of fact, God has apportioned it as he wants. So he tells the story, right? If you were all an ear, how would the human body look? If you were all a hand, how would you function? You couldn't think. You couldn't do anything if you're just one big hand sitting here. That's the whole point. You all have the Holy Spirit, but your gifts should, because we're a body, God probably won't apportion us all to do or have or even manifest to use that in the same way. I'm thinking in my mind when I was thinking about this scripture, I was thinking about how many churches today celebrate and promote spiritual gifts, but primarily two, right? I mean, I don't even got to name them. And you know, if there are churches out there flying, we're a spiritual gifts church, there's probably really two that they all do all the time. And when you get saved, you should start doing this one, and we all should do it. And then maybe we'll have a revival service, and we'll do this one too. But really, at the end of the day, there's probably two, right? And I thought how funny it would be if we had our own revival service. And we said, hey, we've decided these two gifts are primary to us. Come on down Friday night. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival service. And we're going to break out into administration and helping. Those are the spiritual gifts. You're going to watch the Holy Spirit do amazing things here on Friday night. Administrating and helping, that's what we do. And so we all gather hands and we start praying. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Lord, help us. Come on. All of a sudden, we all start breaking out and administrating. Redheads over there, blondes there, older over 60 here. And we're all just going on. You help there. You help there. You help there. You go there. Okay, you're going to bake the pies. Everybody. No, you sit over there a little bit there. And we just start breaking out into it. Have you ever heard of anything like that? That's kind of insane, isn't it? That's the whole point here. That's the whole point he's telling them to think like adults. You all don't have it. You all don't have the same gifts. I would never expect this whole church, everybody, to have the same gifts. You shouldn't. You are so different. God has built us just like our body. I hope we have every single spiritual gift here. And I would never, never think, you should have that gift. You should have that gift. You should have that gift. Never. I don't give them. I don't make them. I haven't built his church. He builds his church. But that's sometimes how we see churches function today. Man, I wish this church had the spiritual gift of helping. We all help. We all jump in. And you know what? You guys do. You guys are an amazing helping church right here. I wish I had more of the gift of administrating. I really do. I wish I was more organized. I'm a good delegator because I'm a terrible organizer. That's the whole point of it. I teach. I have some other things. But I'm calling on somebody here, organize, administrate. That's why when you come to me with a great idea, Terry, we should do this. And I said, great, do it. I'll help. I'll promote. I don't want to do it. It's not big to me. It doesn't light my fire. It does yours. How many times have I said, good, go do it, and we'll help. We'll muster help around you. Jackie won't even ask me about anything anymore because she knows I'm going to say, go do it. I'm just not. We all don't have the same gifts. If we do, we're one big ear sitting here. It's just a weird thing. But what I do know, we all, every single one, has the Holy Spirit. You have something to show, to move, to work here. You have a manifestation possibility right here because God has apportioned it that way. Some pretty interesting things here. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 25. And I told you I was coming to this. This is so inside out, so to speak. This is so countercultural thinking, so to speak. It's just like me saying, if you're going to unite a church, we've got to judge each other. I mean, that sounds like they're opposed to each other, right? If we're going to be united and be Christ's church, then a part of that is that we have to judge each other. And you go, man, we're going to tear each other up. We're going to eat each other up. It's so opposed, and it's that way with these gifts. Verse 25. I've made all these gifts. He just got done telling us, I've made you all differently with spiritual gifts. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. It says in verse 22, the parts that seem to be weaker, you're indispensable. If you feel like you're a weaker person, you have a weaker gift, you're indispensable to us. On those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable parts don't require. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. And there we are, that there be no division. He just said, I've made you all differently, very differently. And some of you that think you're weaker, you're indispensable here. Some of you that think you're dishonorable, we're going to bestow on you a little more honor. We're going to lift you up and show you how beautiful you are in Christ. Maybe you come in here with some real muddy boots from your past, from your life, and you feel very dishonorable, and we're going to pick you up and show you in Christ just how honorable you really are. He bestows on them more honor. Why? So there be no division, but that we have the same care, one for another. That's a reciprocal thing. That's in this room right now. There's bouncing back and forth among every one of us that has the Holy Spirit, the same care for one another. I care for my brother living in a tent like I care for my brother living up on Snob Hill driving a Cadillac. I care for the old and for the young. I care. It's not about talents. It's about spiritual gifts. Some of you can't talk. You can't shut me up. It just doesn't matter. It's not about talents. It's about spiritual gifts. Because I know you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in you makes you valuable and honorable and needed. And for the body to function, you're important. We care for each other. We feed the animal. We feed each other. The monster has to eat. And if I help you and encourage you and restore you and we judge each other, we recognize we're all different in our spiritual gifts. We're feeding this machine. We're helping ourselves to grow and to be strong. And I'm smart enough to know Kenny back there is living in a tent, but if he's got the Holy Spirit in him, I need that. We need that. You're living in a house out here in South Goshen. Makes no difference. You have the Holy Spirit in you. I need that. Living up in a big old neighborhood somewhere, doesn't matter. I need that. You living on government subsidies, I need that. I need that Holy Spirit in you. We need you. You're important here. There's no division of wealth. There's no division. Age. No division. We need each other. That's the whole point here. That's the whole point why he made us all so different. Because we all then need each other. You think, oh, if you're going to make us, why don't you make us all alike? I like to hang out with people who are like me. And he knows that. So he made us all different. The Holy Spirit is in you. And I need you. I'm not an administrator. If you have the Holy Spirit's gift of administration, sign up today in my office, will you? My wife will appreciate you. I'll talk. You don't like to talk. I can talk. Let's talk. But I need you. I need help. That's the beautiful thing about this church. We have a lot of help. But if you have the Holy Spirit, the gift of helping, I already know who you are. I could name some of you. Because every time we need something, you're there. I can do that. I'll do that. I can help that. Let me get that. I already know who you are because you're visible. I see you. That's your gift. We need you. He names so many other gifts, not even in this letter right here, that don't even get promoted, thought about. They're important. They're important gifts for us. Finally, this is really where my heart's at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I hope we are growing in Christ here. And I know you'd never say this verbally, but I hope in your heart you're smart enough to look around this room and never say, I don't need you. I don't need you. My life's just fine. Thank you very much. I can take care of myself. Got a job, got a wife, got a house, got a life. I don't need you. That's what he said. The hand would never say to the foot, or the foot would never say to the hand. The ear would never say to the nose, I don't need you. I don't need you. We'd never say that here. I'm not talking about your ability to produce, to be a functioning American citizen. I'm not talking about your ability to make money. I'm not talking about your ability to be responsible and take care of your family. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. If I want to grow in Christ, and this church wants to grow to be really the body of Christ, we need each other in a huge way, and we will never say to each other, because we know you have the Holy Spirit, and I need that. And if we're going to grow, we'll never say, I don't need you. I don't need you. My spiritual life is an island, and I don't need you. That's a very false statement. I can show you throughout scriptures, you are not a spiritual island. You cannot go home and be a spiritual island. You need us. You need this body. You need us for love. You need us for judgment. You need us for a lot of things. You can never say, hey, church, I'm coming for my 45 minutes and I'm going home. Don't mess with me. You can't say that if you're going to follow this scripture. Never say, I don't need you. But there's one other one I want to show you before I close. It's right here. It's in verse 14. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. That's our physical body. It doesn't consist of one organ, one limb. Many, maybe thousands, right? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. So what he just said was, you can't say, because I don't have the spiritual gifts like they have, because I'm just not able to talk or to help or to administrate. I don't even know what my spiritual gifts are right now. I really don't have a place there. I really don't belong there. There's nothing for me there. I feel disconnected. You can't say that. You belong. And you may want to say that. Unfortunately, it doesn't make you any less a part of the body of Christ. You're needed. You are very much needed. And I will never say to you, I don't need you. And you never say to yourself, I'm not needed. I'm not part of that body. That's a beautiful thing that God has just done for the church of Jesus Christ. You have purpose. You have value. You have honor in Him because of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much money you make. That might not be your spiritual gift. You might not have the gift of giving. I may want you to, but you might not want. That's not what the Spirit is doing through you. You just happen to be very, very skilled and very hardworking and very responsible, and you made a lot of money. I may not need that here. I may need your spiritual gift of helping or administrating. You may need our spiritual gifts here, and I know you do. But you'll never say, I don't need you. I make enough money. I take care of myself. I don't need you. I am not talking about that. God has made us a group, a unified body, based on the Holy Spirit he's given us. Listen, think through this with me. If we all have the Holy Spirit, and we all know, I have something, I have a rash that's going to come to the surface that they need. Something about me, the Holy Spirit in me, is going to move through me, and they need it, and I need them. Don't we all have a point of commonality? Some of you are totally on the other side of the planet from me on love of sports, love of cars, love of money. I can't play what Jade plays. I can't even touch that thing, Jade. I mean, on music, whatever it is, you and I are like polar opposites. But we both have the same Holy Spirit. And we need each other because of the Holy Spirit. We have a point of commonality. It's the cause of Christ. And two people very different can come together with those spiritual gifts and do amazing things for the glory of Jesus Christ. We have a point of commonality. It's a cohesiveness. Whether you and I might not ever break into coffee shop talk every Friday and just chat, chat, chat like a couple of schoolgirls because we're just not that tight. But because of the Holy Spirit in us, and the hunger and the drive for the glory of Christ and the building up of the church, we have a cohesiveness, something that links us together, that I look at you and I see that spiritual gift that you have and I admire it and I want to tap into it. And we do find a closeness of brotherhood, a cohesiveness. You may like the White Sox and I like the Cubs. We bond together because the same Holy Spirit is in us and he glues us together like this body right here. It's an amazing thing. It's cooperation. I will cooperate you even though I have no idea where you're coming from with your spiritual gift. How? What? I don't understand. Organize my office. Are you kidding me? I have everything where I know it can be found. It's a cooperative effort. You just want to disciple, and I just want to evangelize. But we cooperate together because we know we're on the same team. We're on the same body of Christ. We're connected. We're hooked together, glued together. So there's all that just because of the Holy Spirit, not because of age. That's why young people and older people can work together. That's why downtown people can work with rich people. Business people can work with factory workers or no workers. We're bonded. We're part of it. We've got to see beyond our personal preferences and our personalities. We've got to see the value and the honor, the needed value and honor that we have through the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to think with your friendness. You're going to have to think with the deepest part of your ability to think, the seat of your understanding. You're going to have to think about it. That's what Paul asked them to do. I want you to be infants in evil, but I want you to be mature in your thinking. That person drives me nuts. But you know what? I see the spiritual gift they have. I get what they're doing, and I need that. I can't do that to save my life. And I admire that about them. And all of a sudden, we become family. Poof. It's an amazing thing that he's done with this Holy Spirit. So here's my applications for this teaching. If you can think that way, if you can think past our personal preferences, our likes and our dislikes, if you can think that way about each other, it will help us a lot when we judge each other, won't it? It will help us a lot as we begin to judge in the church. Well, look, I'm not going to chew you up and spit you out because I actually need you. You're actually part of my body. So if we're going to judge each other, and I took you off the hook. So you are not in play yet. I am. I said judge me. This is where we're starting right here at the man on the box. You judge me. We're not judging each other yet. We're starting here. When you get really good at judging me, then we're going to turn you loose on each other. Right now, you judge me, okay? But if you're going to judge me, right, take the plank out. Don't go beyond what's written. You're going to want to restore me if that's even needed. I might not need restored. I just may need a shoulder to lean on, a hand around mine, some encouragement. I don't know what it's going to be, but you're going to judge me that I need something. And you're going to judge me knowing that we need each other. I need to get you full strength because I need you. So I'm going to go put my arm around you and say, hey, man, come on, let's go. Come on, come on. Because I need you. You're part of my body. I have to have you. So keep that in mind. If we're going to judge each other and you're going to judge me, I've given you all an open ticket. You better know your preacher. You better know me. You better keep your eyes on that word. Make sure I'm dividing it right. Lots of false prophets. Peter said there were false prophets among you, as there will be false teachers. You got to judge me for my good and your growth. But remember, you need me. I'm part of your body. Okay? Here's the one that's on my heart. When we go to family gatherings over the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, so, I already know it's a beautiful, amazing time for a lot of us. And for a lot of us, it's a very hard time. Families are splintered and broken. You got to go here for a while and there for a while and there for a while. I already know that. Maybe you're not close. Maybe you don't have anybody really to go to for this family time. It's a beautiful time. All these people are getting together. You're going to a Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to go to a Christmas dinner. You really don't know anybody. And the hugs are going to be kind of cordial, social, but you're really not going to be like, oh, my sister, my brother. You're not. It's not going to be that for you. I want you to remember this passage if that's you. If that's your Thanksgiving and your Christmas, I want you to remember this passage and go, I don't have much family here, but down at Cornerstone, I am very needed. I am very valued. I am very honored. This is your family. This is your place. We love you and we need you. And you are always needed here. And we're going to give you a big brotherly, sisterly hug. That's a big one for this holiday. When you feel out of place at work, there's nobody to talk to, you're the only Christian in your department, you keep this passage in mind. You have a family waiting for you here. When you feel unqualified, unequal, less than, no talent, maybe you're looking for your niche to fit in. You're looking where to use your spiritual gift. You've got them and you're looking for it. I can already tell you, you got what it takes to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. You're already an honored, valued part of the body of Christ. We're just going to let that rash come to the surface so it can show. We're going to plug you in. I mean, just start doing something somewhere. We're just going to start using you. Maybe you go, man, this is not for me. This is not it. I don't know. Let's try him on this. Let's try you on this. Let's try you here until you go wham, boop, that's it. Whoa, I love this. This is amazing. Never, never say to yourself, I don't have it. I'm unqualified. Oh, you're qualified. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have something we need. You have a family here. You have a cause here. You have purpose here. That's the way God made it. When you just feel like you have nothing to offer this planet, whatever your situation is, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You need us and we need you. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how fast you can run, how smart you can think. I don't care how old or how young you are. I need you. And you need us. And that's the beauty of the grace of Jesus Christ, the beauty of what he's done for us in the Holy Spirit. When we accept him and that Holy Spirit truly does come in, we don't all stand up here on stage and bark like a dog and howl at the moon and heal each other. And I'm waiting for a good service, a good Holy Spirit service when they say, meet me down at Fiddler's Pond. We're going to show you how to walk on water. I mean, that one's not going to happen, right? We're all different. That would never happen because you are very different in the Holy Spirit than I am. But I love you and I need you and you need us. You have a home. This Thanksgiving, this Christmas, if you don't have anything out there, you have a family here, you have a home here. I will put you to work in a heartbeat. Amen. So, y'all going to stay for Thanksgiving dinner? I need you to stay for Thanksgiving dinner and eat up this food.